Well, welcome, Video Cafe, to what is quite a finale here for some of us. I'm really grateful in the front row. My, I used to say little brother, he's my younger brother, is with us with Aline. And you two met on July 30th, 1976, when Eric came up to my first pastorate in San Jose and came to see me preach. And we hardly saw him, because you two got connected, and now you wanted to be here for my last sermon, and thank you. Good stuff. We were looking at the themes and the timing of this moment, which is wonderful. This is both a conclusion and a launching this afternoon with Tyler coming on as our senior pastor. And we looked at the themes as we looked to this Micah movement, and 2 weeks ago, Tyler talked about acting justly. Last week, Kathy on loving mercy, and they said, would it work for your last sermon to talk about walking humbly with God? I said, yeah, that'll do. And so I want to invite you to hear not anything new from me, but really reinforce my heart message to me and to us. It comes out of Micah 6:8, which is very appropriate, and then I'm going to take you on a tour through Paul's love letter to his church, the Philippians, that he loves so deeply, and I resonate so much with his words. Let me start with this in Micah, and I love the continuity of this. Micah was an 8th century B.C. prophet, and the people of God were gathering for worship, and they got all the forms right. I mean, they know how to hit the right notes. They know when to stand, when to sit, when to how to greet one another. They got all that just perfectly, but they were missing the very heart of it. And by the way, in those days, when they gathered for worship, they didn't sing. They killed things. That's how they worshiped. If you really wanted to worship, you killed a bunch of things. And you poured out oil and water all over the place. It was really kinesthetic. Here's what Micah says about this. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? I mean, a year old, a calf, got this right. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? I mean, that's really worship. Not if you sing for an hour straight, but if you kill thousands of lambs. I mean, how much more could I show my love for God than by killing animals? With 10,000 rivers of olive oil? I mean, you talk about baptizing and anointing. What if I just did this and made a whole life of this and I gave all my resources to show how much I love God, would that do it? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Think of that. So I sacrifice that which I love most because I know I'm a sinner and I come before an exalted holy God. Here's the answer. He's shown you, O mortal, what's good and what the Lord requires of you. And now I want to, when God requires something of us, it's for our fulfillment and fruitfulness. So how do I start a great life? What does God want for me to align with the great purposes, the loving and powerful purposes he has for my life? And he says, here it is. If you really want to worship me with all you got, act justly. That's an act of worship. Love mercy and walk humbly with your God. And I want to talk about walking humbly with our God. And I want to give you kind of 4 words of encouragement along those lines as we come to his word today. But to do so, I want to take us through Paul's love letter to a church he had great affection for in Philippi. Because I've resonated with this, and I think of you. So join me. You got the text in the handout in front of you. Paul writes this, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you all, I always pray with joy. Yeah, me too. Because of our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I get that. I understand what Paul was talking about. As your pastor for these last 23 years, what we've done most is we've shared the gospel, the good news. You know, No one can function as a senior pastor, as a pastor, without you being able to forgive my sins. And at the same time, receive God's grace that's been entrusted to me. If my sins are such that you can't forgive them, I don't function. And thank you for the last 23 years for knowing very well I'm not perfect, and yet accepting God's love through me and his leadership and support through me, and being able to affirm the gifts he's entrusted to me. You know, that's the essence of sharing the gospel together. Thank you for giving me the gospel for these 23 years. And by the way, you're screwed up too. You're a highly talented, highly gifted, many of you highly educated, affluent, resourced bunch, and you're a bunch of sinners. And what we've gotten to do in the highs and the lows of life is come together to the gospel at the feet of God. And it's been my privilege to bear the gospel to you and be born on that gospel with you. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, that's why I pray for you, because you're not perfect. God's got more to do in you. But I pray with joy because of the gospel that we've shared together. If you're new, come on in. That's not changing. First word of encouragement, I would say, is the best is yet to come. Paul writes it this way in verse 6. I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, I get asked from time to time from people who don't know, are you the founding pastor of CPC? No, it started in 1851. There's a plaque, for those of you who don't know it, down next to the town council meeting hall, and it's up here, and it commemorates. This tree was planted in 1876, is dedicated to the memory of the Reverend R.S. Symington, first pastor of Danville Presbyterian Church. It was in 1875 that the farmers of the valley, when they hired a pastor, decided they were going to hire a Presbyterian pastor. And so I'm not the founding. I received a legacy from in 1962, where the freeway was coming through, and Orville Schick became our pastor here at CPC. And by that time, it had moved from what is now the town council hall to what is now the chapel. And it was a small church. And as the valley grew and filled in, Orville was an excellent pastor until 1984. And we, many of us, stand on the shoulders of God's faithfulness through Orville. And then I would say God brought a tumultuous and humbling time to our church with the next pastor who was wounded in soul and hurt many in his healing, in his disease. And then in 1993, on April Fool's Day, I started. And I know that there were people who couldn't go into my office because of its associations. The reputation of this church out in the community was painful. And the story that was our identity in the community was not good. And I'm glad to say in 2016, we've been healed. There's been a restoration of trust. There are literally thousands of serious disciples who want to love Jesus, connect, and make a difference for the kingdom. Here, you have excellent leadership in place. You're financially well-resourced to make a difference. And I praise God that he has called Tyler Scott for this next chapter, because Tyler's gifts match the need of the moment. The need of the moment in the church in America, the church here today, is to take irreligious people who are very suspicious of the gospel, and in a way that is incarnated and articulated in a way that connects with them, helps people meet Christ, and Tyler is outstanding at that. I thank God for that. He's a man of vision and hard work and intelligence and connection and love. However, neither does Tyler get to be sinless. Neither does Tyler get to be omni-gifted, right? The future that God has for us as CPC is going to take 2,000 people committing to knowing Christ, growing in Him, and serving Him according to your unique shape. Are you in? Let's go. He's begun a good work in us, and He will bring it to completion. Now, there's more on that, and I love what Paul says in addition to that. He says, I wonder if Paul cried when he wrote this. It's right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, you all share in God's grace with me. And that's delicious to him, and it's delicious to me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Yep. I love you guys. And I'm going to miss walking into those moments of life where you wonder where God is and how could God, a good God, let this into my life and then bring the gospel together in the lows and in the highs. I'm going to miss that. I'm not going to miss feeling responsible for your welfare and knowing how inadequate I am to accomplish what God wants in you. I am not going to miss what I call the performance art of creating and communicating God's word to you in a powerful and anointed way. That's an overwhelming responsibility. I don't think I'm going to miss that. But thank you. I love you guys. And that's the grief of leaving. The other part of me is just dancing. It's just feeling so light. I was with Tyler this morning, and you'll hear from him later this afternoon. I mean, I'm so light, and he said, as we were talking here, he says, yeah, and I cried this morning. And I thought, you're not getting out of a crying pastor, guys. Paul then writes, this is my prayer on the theme of the best is yet to come, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. And I pray, too, that you grow in life of the mind, that you don't get encrusted in what you already know of God, but you want a life of the mind to know God and God's ways better. Then, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and maybe not only life of the mind, but pure and blameless, life of the soul, growing in soul. And some of you have stopping points, that you stop growing as disciples because there's a barrier of purity and blamelessness that you can't push through. And some of you have chosen relationships and desires more than you've chosen Christ. Cut it out. Take hold of that which is to come, and you'll be very happy you did. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Grow in spirit. You got a great future. I'm glad to have been part of this chapter. Encouragement I'd leave with you is to stay united. Stay united. Loving each other and serving Christ together. In chapter 2, Paul writes this. By the way, and here's the context of the Philippian church that he loved, that he was writing to. Here's some of the people in the church. Remember the Philippian jailer who beat Paul and then finds out, oops, I shouldn't have done that. So he's a retired military guy who's a Philippian jailer, and he's a tough guy. Then you've got Lydia the purple seller, who's this international businesswoman in high fashion. Purple is the stuff you make the best fabrics out of. So you got this hardcore military tough guy, you got this fashionista, and then you've got this, we know at least there was this redeemed slave girl who was set free from demonic oppression. You got those people in the church in Philippi, plus all of the other nuts and fruits that are there. And he says, oh, that's not you. No, you're perfect. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion. When do you need tenderness and compassion? When someone's not living up to what you wish they could have as a life, or you're not. That's when you need compassion. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love as Jesus had, being one in spirit with Him in one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Stay united around the things that matter to God. It's easy for us to get absorbed with our own interests, the way we like our music delivered, the way we like our sermons done, the programs that meet us. And I pray that we as a congregation stay united around what matters to God. Let your hearts be broken for the things that break the heart of God. There are people in the San Ramon Valley and in the Bay Area whom God loves and he wants to love through you and me. And we can get consumed with seeing, is this thing going to take care of my interests? There are two kinds of people who enter a room. One person enters the room and says, here I am. Look at me. Pay attention to me. Care for me. Meet my needs. And the other kind of person walks into the room and says, there you are. I wonder who you are. What are your hopes? What are your hurts? What's your experience? I wonder how I could be a benefit to you. Churches don't stay united when people walk in this way. Churches and families and communities stay united when people walk in this way, like Christ Jesus. Would you be there you are, people? Not here I am, people? And CFPC will have a great future. Thirdly, pursue Christ. Pursue Christ. This is chapter 3 of Philippians, and Paul writes this as a high achiever. Paul was the best of the best. He was an A student in the school of Gamaliel. He came from the right family, had the right heritage. He had the right zeal for God. He had the right resume. He had everything going for him. And then he writes this, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them as garbage. Interesting word. Another translation of that same word could be excrement. All these things, all these positions, all these privileges that I've had, they are garbage compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, that I may gain Christ, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness that comes from God on the basis of Christ. Listen to this thing. This is the Apostle Paul, and he concludes with, I want to know Christ. Wait a minute. Do you think Paul knew Christ? Do you think Paul had met Christ? This is the Apostle Paul writing inspired scripture. Do you think he had a relationship with Jesus Christ? And he says, I want to know him better. I want to pursue him as the ultimate affection, the center of my attention, the absolute one to whom I give utter allegiance. I want to know him better. I've known Barbie we've been married 42 years. And I know her a little bit. I'm committed to loving her. But she's still a mystery to me. And she's a human. And I want to urge you, my brothers and sisters and friends who are looking in at the Christian faith from the outside, pursue Christ. More than anything else in your life that you're pursuing, pursue Christ. Pursue knowing him, loving him, following him. And if today you're not sure what on earth we're talking about, you can meet Christ by his Spirit right where you're sitting. And how we humans do it is in an act that we call prayer. The central way we connect with God is we open ourselves up and we say, God, best I know you, here I am, and I offer myself to you. I want you to be the center of my attention and affection and allegiance. I thank you that you enfleshed your love for me in Jesus. I don't understand it, but I accept it. Thank you that he loved me enough to die for me on that cross. Somehow you raised him from the dead to demonstrate that he is not only human, but your gift to humanity. He's God himself. And I believe that. And watch what happens when you just open your heart as best you know how to receive God's love for you in Jesus Christ. And pursue Christ today, and then again tomorrow, and then again the next day, and then every day of your life. You who've been around know this. Listen to this, you who are new. Bible before, prayer before, and those of you who read online, big deal. That's a daily engagement with pursuing Christ as the starting point. Before I feed my body with food, which is essential, I feed my soul and my mind with the Word of God, which is more essential. Before I make contact with the world and understand what's going on with my calendar and the paper and the social media, I make contact with heaven and connect with God as my center of who I am and what I'm about. Pursue Christ. And then I want to talk to a couple of issues related to pursuing Christ as alternatives. You've heard me say this. As God entrusts us with more resource, let's pursue raising our standard of giving rather than our standard of living. One of the seductions, I call it idolatries of our day, is to live for more materially. And one of the counter moves to that is live in contentment with what God has entrusted to us, such that when he gives us more, we who are so affluent by comparison to anyone else in the world know we can contribute more rather than consume more. That's the other thing I would like to say is if you are in a relationship right now, with someone you're trying to love, and Christ is not first in your life, you're not loving that person as much as you think. Because the best way to love one another is to bring each other to Christ in every aspect of a relationship. So I want to say that the best way you can love your spouse is to love Christ first. The best way that you can love your children, your friends, your colleagues, is to put Christ first in your life. If there is anything blocking that, if even you love that relationship more than you love Christ, stop, turn around, come to him. Does that make sense? Finally, don't be anxious, pray instead. Change is traumatic. We get used to what is, whatever it is. We as a church are in for change now. Here's what Paul says in chapter 4. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the essence of walking humbly with God, living prayerfully in the midst of what is not certain, what is insecure, what is not happening, living in the gap between what is and what ought to be. And instead of being anxious, we're prayerful, and we trust God in the midst of it. CPC presently is in an outstanding position for a great future. I believe CPC is poised for a wonderful next chapter. You have great leadership, many serious disciples, well-resourced, and a heart for God. But it's going to be different, isn't it? Thankfully, Tyler and I are not twins. And someone's going to move your cheese. Don't be anxious. Pray. The alternatives are pride or despair. And this leads to peace. CPC is God's church. You're God's child. Don't move without him. And I just want to say I love you. It's my privilege to share the gospel with you for these 23 plus years. The best is yet to come. Stay united in him and for him. Pursue Christ. And don't be anxious. Instead, pray. And I want to conclude with this. On Monday night, Barbie and I hosted the pastoral team couples for a dinner. They've been saying nice things about me, and this is my chance to say thank you to our wonderful pastoral team. And I had written letters of thanks to each one of them. And at the end, I read one more letter, and it's your fault, Kathy, and your fault, Heidi, and Nancy, it's your fault too. They said, there you are. They said, you ought to read before the congregation the letter you wrote to the hidden pastoral team member, Barbie. So I'll try. Dear Barbie, AKA Wonderful, thank you. You are the hidden member of our pastoral leadership team. While you have not attended our gatherings in person, at least not in your person, you have been a, I can't even read this, just a minute, okay. You have been a profound, wise, gospel-centered, prophetically centering voice in many of our deliberations. For without you, I would not be me, and CPC would not be the great church it is. Thank you. You've listened to my jumbled heart poured out at all hours. You've asked wisely probing questions to reveal my half-baked ideas. You have corrected my willing self-deceptions. You've lifted me again and again to believe again that God has entrusted grace even to me and can use even me. Thank you. You have endured the weight of burdens kept quietly in confidence. Thank you. You have borne our children's hurt as I struggled to shepherd a complex congregation that at times seemed on the brink, urging me not to quit. Thank you. You have given me freely to many nights out. You spent Sundays alone for 40 years. You've yielded your personal passions and ministry desires to support me and CPC. You have shown me the intimate reality of the gospel that we share. You have laid down your life for my sake, and I trust for the gospel. Thank you. Loving you well is number one on my bucket list. We were standing in here, guy, in the video cafe, and there was a little bit of wetness. Well, that's all I got. Let me pray for you. God, this is your sweetheart church. You've loved her since you gave her birth so many years ago. You've revealed your gospel to us. And the best is yet to come because your work in us is not yet finished. Thank you for this blessed day of transition, of completion and new beginning. Thank you that you have given us the compassion, the mercy, the care of Jesus Christ, and the mission of Christ. And we now declare we want to pursue Christ, to be found in him, to know you better. And in the midst of any anxieties, we know the wisdom of, and we desire to practice bringing our concerns to you. Would you be our vision, now and forever? Amen. See you soon.